You look skinny.
Really?
Yeah, I like Robert Kelly and I play this game with each other where next time we see you, we hope that you're fat. Not you, each other, you know what I mean? Or at least fatter than...
How bad would that be if Robert Kelly and Mike just sat around talking about, I hope Josh is fat next time he comes
no,
in?
No. No, Robert Kelly walks through the door and he looks at me and he goes, oh good, you're still fat. That's what he said. Although I talked to him the other night and he claims... Because I'm going to see him next week, and he claims he's lost a bunch of weight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no and way. I said, I can't wait to eat with you. And he goes, not this guy. And he took a picture of a bowl of berries that he was eating.
Let me point out that I saw a video from him and what was this? Stavi?
Yeah.
On the road, and he does not look any different.
Okay, good.
Yeah. That's so. What I need to know. By the way, congratulations on the, what are you, quarterback coach for the Bengals now? Or what's going
on? I have a dozen or so Yankee t-shirts, and the day that I grab a hat, that also happened to be a Yankee hat. Oh, I could never do that again because they were like, what are you playing third today? What do you got going on? Josh Neid is here. Josh is the most proud person from Cincinnati.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nothing wrong with that. It's a good town.
It's the worst place I've ever been to. It's the worst, like, nice downtown city that I've ever been to.
When was the last time you were there?
A long time ago. Okay. In the 90s.
It's literally, I'm not joking. I'm not just saying this because I'm a supporter of the town, but it is a completely different city now.
In what ways?
Well, when you were there, it was probably when I was working and living downtown, and there was no life downtown. Everything shut down at 5 o'clock, you know, because no one lived downtown.
Right.
Everyone lives in the suburbs. They come in for work and then they go home. Now it's completely flipped. They've redone the whole old neighborhood in downtown. Like, everyone's moving there. It's a national foodie scene now.
I'll try it again. I'll give it another shot.
Let me show you around.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, I know I did have to go to Kentucky to get food after midnight.
Yes, there that's nothing not the open. Case anymore.
And then when I got there, it was chili on top of spaghetti, and I thought, I don't know what's going on here.
I think there's a Skyline Chili down here now.
Yeah, there's one over in Clearwater. Yeah.
So that shows you it's popular enough to
have one store here.
Open one more location.
I'm just saying, it was a little bit of a culture shock.
Yeah, it's chili. I don't even eat the three-way. Which is that has a completely different meaning on this show,
right.
Does cornhole.
Right.
I like cheese conies, but I'm not into the chili on the spaghetti either.
What about? Wait, there was something else Cincinnati that I wanted to ask you about. Yeah, this is Bengals, and yeah,
that's a short list of things you could ask me about.
Something. What about Cleveland? Do you hate Cleveland?
I don't have a problem with Cleveland.
Rob worked in Cleveland. And he hates it. Good, because it was like. He was like one of those pit bulls that they had, and they forced him to fight other pit bulls. So now he's all gun shy with all the other people.
The people there, like the people from the Midwest, are fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's just I don't know how they put up with that cold all year round. It's just honestly, even during the summer, it gets dead hot because there's no breeze, and then it becomes super cold during the winter, and you don't see the sun for months.
The opposite end of the state. I mean, it's different than Cincinnati.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that would be like saying, like, Miami and, you know,
Tampa.
Pensacola or something, or, you know, comparing those.
Cleveland is also in the snow belt, so it would come through, and we get this lake effect snow where it would literally snow from the beginning of November until the end of January. No, and you don't, because it's not enough to accumulate to where it's fun to go out, and it's just a constant pain in the ass.
You love it if you're in a resort and there's snowmobiles and you can go in the hot tub. Don't love it whenever you have to get up to go to work and scrape ice and drive through.
I think we're both pretty sure I wouldn't be the one shoveling and scraping ice.
I would.
There'd be some guy. There'd be some guy that lived in my house. I'd be like, Spanish, warm up the driveway.
You got it, boss.
Yeah, thank you. Josh Neid is here with us. Josh will be out at Sidesplitters tonight and the whole weekend. Tonight we have the first Caltus Comedy Night where I will be out there. Rob will be out there. So it'll be a bunch of horrible comedians before you.
Sort of a soft opening for the future Caltus Comedy.
Rob's been doing comedy. He does it as much as he can. And then you got Steve Miller and Cam Bertrand. So you got the good comedians on the
It's going to be fun. It's always fun at that club. It's a good crowd. I like that. It's a great setup for comedy in there.
Yes. It'll be good. And then I would recommend, though, for you people planning on going, to get your tickets now. Because by the time we're done with this interview, it's gonna be pretty full. 960-1197 or sidesplitterscomedy.com. You can get tickets in advance as opposed to waiting until you show up there only to find out that we have nothing.
Zero pressure on this interview now.
You're fine. You're fine.
that'd be the worst if we get a text like, a bunch of seats just opened up after your
interview. Or is it more tickets than when we started? I don't know how it happened.
How's your t-shirt business going?
It's going great.
Yeah.
It's going really great. Yeah, we're opening our second location in Cincinnati.
What?
So we have two brick and mortar stores that's actually opening this weekend.
Do you do more with the website or do you do more in the actual stores?
It's actually a mix of both now. Yeah. Soccer has become big down here, right? In Tampa?
No.
No, not at
we,
all?
We have a soccer team.
Yeah, the Rowdies.
So since he just got their USL team
right.
this past year, and they broke every attendance
really?
Record in the league in the first 2 weeks.
Do you have a high Hispanic area over there?
Not really.
So it's white people going to see soccer.
White people going to see soccer.
Soccer in the Midwest is very big, though. In Illinois, soccer was huge.
That's amazing to me. Good.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're actually courting the MLS commissioner this week to already talk about moving up to the big leagues.
Okay.
So we got one of the few licenses to print FC soccer stuff, which there's 30,000 people going to the games, and there's literally never been games before.
Right.
So everyone
everybody
needs
wants,
gear.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's great.
Yeah, it was a crazy year for us. And then our funny t-shirt site, which is all online. We don't have like a brick and mortar store for it, but it's doing really well too. So
what are you selling in the store? Just soccer stuff?
Cincy stuff. So it's a really cool business model. It's like nightclubs and grocery stores and all these places you went to when you were a kid
that are
out of business now.
Right.
But everybody has fond memories of. So we find the logos like on old YouTube commercials or, you know, Google Images, and we redraw the logos by hand and print them on a soft shirt so it looks and feels like an old shirt, and everybody see, you know, if you're from Cincinnati and you go to our website, you're like, I want every one of these shirts.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. And you do that for other places.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing it, we just bought the domain oldschoolshirts.com.
Oh,
so
really? What'd that run you?
$3,500.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all. The guy wanted $15,000, and then when I said no, and he kept emailing me for months about it, he wants to unload this. So, I mean, that was as low as he would go, but it was. I mean, that's a good domain name, so we'll have it up and running after the first of the year.
Some guy bought cowhead.com. I had it first, and that was before anybody really knew how to do websites or anything. You'd have to hire like four companies to get it done. And then when it went away, like it expired, I didn't know. He went and snuck in and bought it. So his name was Mike Birkin. So I went and bought MikeBirkins.com. And then he kept trying to sell it to me for like $10,000. I'm like, I don't keep it. I don't care. Okay, MikeBirkins.com. I don't need it.
The one thing Donald Trump did during the campaign was when he trolled Jeb Bush by purchasing what, JebBush.com.
Yeah.
And it expired.
Redirected
it to his site.
Brilliant.
That's next level right there.
That is good. If you stay on those things, that's pretty good. Who did you vote for?
I voted for Hillary.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, you said
no. Well, I'm not, it wasn't like I was super excited to vote for Hillary.
You just don't want to vote for Trump.
Yeah, man. I just, you know, like, I understand. I don't want to get into politics.
I was asking you from a comedian's point of view, like, don't you think how it's going to be so much fun for the next couple of years?
Yes and no. It's like making fun of like a handicapped person. In the sense that it's like, it's almost
easy
too
target,
easy.
Yeah.
And after a while, everyone, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's not going to be a joke that has not either already been written or will be said by late night hosts before I would get to say it on stage.
Listen, all the hair jokes, all the tan jokes are all made. He's going to do some stuff where we're going to go, holy crap, and we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I think we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I just, you know, at some point I feel like the president doesn't have as much power as we like to think that they do because of all the, you know, other stuff that has to happen for them to get their policies. But more importantly, they represent our country.
Right.
And I just think it's a bad representation. Yeah, I feel like that's one of the things I did like about Obama is that I felt like when he spoke, I was like, that guy's out there representing us.
Right.
And he sounds like
he's smooth.
Be.
He knew what he was saying. He's smart. But now the more I watch and the older I get, I know they all have little chips in their ear and somebody's in the back going, now say this.
Yeah.
It's a whole bunch of
one giant step for me.
Yeah,
but people love talking about politics at the comedy show. You should be there. it's so much fun. It's the only time I've ever prayed for a bachelorette party to show up.
people at comics always make jokes about that. I would think that's perfect. Easy target, loud mouth pitches. Let them get in there, let them get warmed up, and then just destroy them.
it's fun for a few minutes, but then the rest of the audience gets tired of you. Like, they don't want that bachelorette party to be the center of attention on the show.
Right.
And they came to hear jokes, and that's exactly what ends up happening. The comedy club owner in Des Moines, who has since passed away, he used to mess with comics when bachelorette parties would show up. Like, he'd purposely sit them in the front. Yeah. Or one time, this one bachelorette party had a 6-foot inflatable penis.
Oh.
And he sat it at the front table by itself. So it just sat in the front row the whole show.
This is Josh Need, who's in the studio with us. Josh will be out at Sidesplitters tonight. What was his story? I remember you told us last time your father worked for what?
Kenner Toys.
Kenner, that was what it was. And he made all the Star Wars stuff.
Star Wars toys, starting lineups, Play-Doh. Oh. Easy Bake Ovens.
Oh, man. You must have the best childhood.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Looking, like, right now, with as much as that stuff is going for on eBay, it's kind of bittersweet looking back. I remember one time he brought home these giant pieces of uncut cardboard that the figures were attached to.
Yeah.
And they all said Revenge of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, these are garbage now. Because it's called Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So my dad, I know you guys were talking about changing your own oil.
Yeah.
My dad was that guy. So he brought those home and he'd put those down on the floor of the garage.
To change his oil?
Keep the oil off of them.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He probably had 10 of those, and I think each one will fetch about $5,000.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Should have went to Jiffy Lube.
I sold my whole collection when I became a comedian to a guy from New York who flew to my parents' house where I had still had all that stuff in their basement, and he bought literally everything that I had, and that was like 1999, 2000, something like that.
And how much did you sell it to him for?
I sold it to him for about $10,000. But if you were to sell it right now, the same stuff, I mean, it's probably $25,000.
Oh, man.
But
that's
stuff
great.
You can't sell off individually either, right? Do you sell it all in a set? Or do you have to, like, could you make more if you sold piece by piece?
Now you could sell it piece by piece. Back then, it was certainly easier to let one guy buy all of it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, if you don't know that industry, like, super well. Like, I had all my Star Wars stuff laid out, and then I had this little box of just stuff that was kind of Star Wars-y but wasn't the original toys. And in that box were these two figures. They did a cartoon for 1 year that was like half of the Ewoks, half of the C-3PO and R2-D2. And I had a couple figures from that cartoon, and he presented his offer, and he goes, "Do you have anything else?" And I go, "Well, there's that box. It just has some, like, random weapons in it." And he pulls out these two figures, and he looks at his buddy, and he goes, and apparently I had two figures from season 2 that never aired. They were just prototypes, and each one of those fetched
$2,500.
So the offer went from 5 to 10 just on a box that I was literally ready to throw away.
Toss out. Good for you. That is so awesome. I have a garage full of crap, and it's borderline hoarders is what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, I have a golf cart.
Pretty sure there's a dead cat in there.
Yeah.
That he doesn't know about.
Yeah. There was a raccoon in there for a while that I didn't know about. A raccoon got in somehow, and I'd hear screaming at night, and I'd go, "What is that?" And then when I opened the garage door one day, I noticed all the shelves were knocked down. And then I opened the garage door and turned the lights on, and there he was sleeping in the thing.
We had one in our attic above our bedroom, and at night I'd hear.
Oh, man. Did you think it was a rat?
All night long.
Oh,
like,
really?
What is going on?
Do you know my wife grew up in New Jersey? And when she was like 2 years old, she was sleeping in the crib, and she used to tell her parents that baboons were coming in her room at night, and they would laugh it off. Oh, it's a cute little kid, baboons. And she'd go on and on, and she'd be crying that there were baboons in her room. It was raccoons that she was trying to say. They were sneaking in through the old chimney that they had, and they were coming in her room. Can you imagine a baby versus a raccoon? That is not a good fight. And that poor thing was telling everybody baboons were there.
So it's kind of on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of on her.
Learn how to pronounce words a little better next time. That's so funny. So how many? You have 2 kids now?
2 kids now. 5-month-old daughter. And
oh, five months. So you enjoy going on the road for a little bit.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Get some sleep.
Yeah, it's exactly why. You get it. It's like, sorry, honey, I got to go to Tampa.
And yeah, and I'm going to have to stay an extra day.
Yeah. Coming a day.
There's... That's the best life for marriage, I think. The longest marriages are when you leave on a Wednesday, because that's when you guys start getting sick of each other, and then come back on a Monday and be like, oh, no, I love you again.
Yeah, but the thing that sucks about this age of the child is, like, you know, with having the T-shirt company and the other stuff, I work all day. And then I come home and, like, immediately I just handed a baby because that's what she's been doing all day. And
so it's she,
like,
thinks,
well, I've worked too, you know?
She thinks that you've done nothing. What do you tell jokes? That's not work.
I know.
You make T-shirts. That's not work.
I know.
Yeah.
No, but her job is the most important job.
Yep. Well, what is she?
Most important job ever.
Yeah, she's a mom. Yeah. She's a stay-at-home mom.
You know.
You didn't pick up on the sarcasm?
No, I know. What I'm saying is you got to work a nanny into the situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch the kids.
If you have a nanny, and I know my wife is in the car listening right now, but if you have a nanny, that's great, because then whenever she tries to give you crap, you can go, what do? You have a nanny.
Whoa. Oh,
that's always a good argument.
Yeah. Then you don't have to talk to her for a couple of days. Something like that.
Nice time spent in the hospital, too.
Mm-hmm. Spanish's girlfriend was my nanny for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that
perfect
was
perfect for me. Because I got to hang out with him extra. Because I just go over there with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. You don't understand. I like hanging out with him, so it was good.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I'm sure you slept well at night
every night.
Wondering.
Yep. How was it going?
I would constantly reassure him. I said, Trust me, I'm a horrible human being.
Yeah.
And if the day that I walk in and she's like, let's do this, I think I would feel too guilty to do it to Spanish. Not my wife. But the Spanish. Like, I could never have to go to Spanish and go.
Appreciate that. So, yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
He was safe there.
I appreciate it.
I got to bring this back up. So you guys were talking about doing manly stuff before.
Yes.
Who said that they would change or could change their own oil?
Gallup. I could.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you into that kind of stuff?
No, not at all. But I learned it whenever I was a kid. We had motorcycles, and my brother, who's good at it, my dad's good at it, so they would make me do it. They'd be like, here's the wrench, here's what you got to do, do it. You know?
See, that was the extent of it for me, was hand me the wrench or something.
Hold on.
I never figured out how to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm so curious about this, because I'm like, it's the first time in my life where I've got, you know, a house and projects that need to be done
that I can do.
I can vividly remember my dad doing all of those, and I don't know how to do any.
Don't think whenever my wife got a flat the other day and I had to put a donut on her car that I didn't take pictures and tweet it out and was like, I changed it. I put the tire on all by myself. The car fell twice, but the tire was on.
I was able to program, you know, when you get a car and it's got all those buttons for your garage door and all that. I was able to program my gate to the garage, to the car button. I could solve world peace at this point. I mean, I was prouder of that than I was of my children. That was the greatest moment. I was like, and you just touch it and the gate opens. I don't have any of those skills either. What's worse for me is that I grew up around a family of men who all did construction. They built stadiums. They built jails. Like, they were real hardcore construction guys. All their houses were beautiful. I have none of those skills.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
I'm working on a concept for a TV show that is basically, it talks about how when I was a kid, I thought my dad was just really good at that stuff. He was a machinist for Kenner.
Right.
But, you know, he wasn't a plumber or a mechanic or an electrician, but he could do all those things in our house. And then when he passed away, I was just like, well, who's going to show me how to do all this stuff now? And then I realized, like, my uncle could do it and my best friend's dad could do it. And I think it was a generation thing where they taught themselves how to do it and we just call someone to come do it. And
yeah,
so,
but John, our program director, he can do it. And like Jason built all the shelves in his house.
Right.
Like,
I think some guys can do it, but I think the majority of people my age will just call somebody rather than either knowing how to do it or
learning. But what's worse when a guy who's your age shows up to do it?
I know.
Like,
I know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, is the guy who's showing up to be able to do that stuff, that guy can't play drums. I can play drums. You know what I mean? So that's where I was spending my time.
Right.
My oldest brother, well, not oldest brother, but my brother Tim learned how to do all that stuff from my dad. I could have too, but I chose to learn how to play guitar and drums and do that stuff. So it was different.
Right. And you got to remember that you have to open the gate for someone to come do that
that's
stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was great. I was proud of it for a couple of weeks. And then my wife got a new car and she did hers on her own. Didn't even say anything.
Oh,
anyway.
Wow.
I was like, how do you get in and out? And she goes, just push that button. And I go, how did you do that?
I returned a Kit Kat to Lowe's because it was too melty. That's the level of man that I go in there. I feel so dumb talking to those people.
At Lowe's, they make you feel dumb. No offense, Lowe's. Home Depot does it, too.
It's not. Any of those places. Ace.
Right. They expect you to know when you go in there. When you go in there and you need a screw, and they ask you what kind of screw, I go, I don't know, a little one. You know, like, three quarters of a, I don't know, I'm not going to do math now.
Brian Regan has a great bit about that, going to the mechanic where they mess with him because they know he doesn't know anything.
Right.
Like, come on, man, what's it sound like? He's like, you know, just take a look at it. Come on, man, what's it sound like? And he has to go, bah, 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 bah.
I learned the hard lesson that I never get my oil changed any place that has Speedy or Jiffy or any sort of fast time in it. I actually studied the Jiffy Lube last time I went there. So it seems to me, and I'm going to guess this, I don't know that it's true, but it seems to me that Jiffy Lube is on some sort of prison release program.
It's like a front.
Yes. Well, like everybody that works there has some, even the girl, some crazy neck tattoo, some eye tattoo. And it leads me to believe that they were able to get hired there because even with their prison background.
And
which
think about this. That's the people that they are putting to talk to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's people underground. Can you imagine what they look like?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then I don't know a lot about cars, but I know that I just got my car from the dealership. And one of the things I asked them to do is replace my windshield wipers because that seems to be an important, an impossible job for me to do. So when I went in there, I mean, literally a day later, they go through this checklist of things and they go, okay, and we noticed that your windshield wipers are kind of tore up and they're kind of old and we should replace those. And I went, really? How bad are they? They're pretty bad. And I went, oh, I just replaced them yesterday. And she was like, oh, okay, we'll skip that one and go to the next. And I'm like, well, you lied. Right, you outright lied to me. And then I went and listened to all the crap and then your filter and all that stuff. And I thought, never again. And then I really want to know. Like, I feel like I should get under there and watch them do the oil. Like, how do I know?
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's funny what I do, and people can do this. You can totally steal this from me. What I do a lot of times when I get my oil changed from a place and they say, hey, your filter and you're this and that. And you do need to change that stuff, but not nearly as often. They're just trying to, you could have it new the day before and they're telling you to change it.
Yeah.
I go, I'm selling this car. I just need the oil changed.
Right.
So they're like, well, you should do it. No, I'm selling it. I don't care. Filters or anything else.
Nice.
I'm just changing the oil.
They yell out those code words, those like little phrases and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they actually mean anything. They just want to make themselves sound, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, change back then. Got 30 on 2. What?
And then I thought, how hard can it really be if you're underground? You're unscrewing things.
I know.
You know? They have all the tools there. You asked me if I could change my oil if I'm underground.
Right,
then I could probably do that.
You don't have to worry about your car falling on your head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If your garage had a basement and a car lift, you could probably do it yourself.
Do you know where to pull things out of? Like, I wouldn't know. Yeah, I could get underneath it, but I don't know where the oil pan is. Like, when I went to...
There's a pan?
I went to Advanced Auto Parts, and I couldn't put my windshield wiper on, and luckily the guy saw me struggling, and they came out and put it on for me in front of my girlfriend and son, because I couldn't do it myself.
They're good like that. They change my headlight bulb for me.
Right. Advanced Auto Parts. Yeah, they're really good. They'll come out, they'll test your battery, they'll do all kinds of stuff.
They'll replace your battery in the parking lot for you if you just go, hey, I'll just buy a new battery. They'll come out and take your old one out, put the new one in.
I gotta go to Advanced Auto Parts.
Yeah, it's like mechanics without paying the mechanic.
Yeah.
Did you tip the guy?
I said, hey, it's a sunny day, I have a good one. Like that's I don't know what to do.
A couple of bucks?
That's a good tip.
I don't know what I didn't know that I was supposed to, because you don't, that's one of those things where they offer and then they come out and fulfill it.
Why do you think he's doing that? Because he loves you?
No, I'm a customer, and he saw me struggling. Yeah, well,
he's not Mr. Advance. He doesn't get all
the money. See, I agree with you. I don't know if I would tip either. I don't know that I would know to tip.
I will always tip anybody that goes the extra mile for me, and I will also always tip, out of default, anybody that puts a line on their receipt that says tip. I don't care what I did. I walked in and picked up Chinese food. I didn't do anything. I walked in and picked it up, carried it out to my car, and I was like, oh, 20%. I have no idea. I just feel like if there's a line there, I'm supposed to do that.
But that's why they're putting that line
there. I know. I'm a sucker. What can I tell you?
The jar is the worst.
Oh, man.
Oh, the jar is the best.
Little handwritten.
Yeah.
That's the best, because then you can crumple up a dollar, put your hand over the top and drop it in, and then you have no idea what you put in.
Shake it a little bit.
You tip when you pick up food. I can't believe, like, I've never... ever done that in my entire
life. Yeah, they're bagging it up. They're getting it ready for you.
I'll tip delivery drivers all day long because I know they're driving to me, but when I'm going in and go, it's not like I'm at car side to go and they're bringing it out to me. I'm getting up, I'm walking in. Really, they're just handing me the pizza off the oven. I didn't know that you're supposed to tip for that.
That's their job.
Yeah, just like 10%.
Yeah, you're not tipping like you would if you sat down for a meal and they were waiting on you and doing all that stuff, but a couple bucks, you know.
A couple bucks, yeah.
When I was on Vegas, went to the buffet, paid at the register before you go into the buffet, and then you have a waiter who'll come over and get your drinks and stuff, but they pay, and they had a tip thing there. And I go, for what?
Well, they're bringing you drinks. Yeah.
No.
Oh, at the register.
At the register. That lady didn't do anything. I'm not tipping you.
Yeah.
I'm tipping cash to the waiter or waitress that's bringing me drinks and stuff. I just put a big old zero right there.
Yeah.
And wrote the thing. I was like, you can't argue that. You can't be like, sir, you didn't tip me. You didn't do anything.
You're right, all right. But it'll come back to bite you in the ass.
Nope.
Dude, you know that guy from the Mike Calda show?
Ah, it's in Vegas.
He's cheap.
Plus, I was using Rob's name the whole time I was there.
Genius.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rob, tonight I will be out at Sidesplitters Comedy with Rob, with Cam Bertrand, with Moonshine Miller, and with our guest Josh Sneed, who'll be out there headlining tonight and the rest of the weekend. Do you like coming here? Do you like Florida? I'm going to New York this weekend, and I can't wait because of the weather. I just want to change in scenery.
It's probably
going to
be warm there this weekend.
No.
Right?
Big snowstorm coming.
No.
There's a snowstorm coming. It'll be 50-degree weather in New York, which is a huge change.
I do like coming here.
Okay.
I like coming here any time of year, but especially in November. But it's warm in Cincinnati right now.
Yeah. What are your plans for the holidays? What do you do for Thanksgiving?
Well, that's the thing. When you got the new baby, you got to go visit everybody. So we got...
Or you make them come to you.
They don't come to you. They don't
Perfect.
Come to you. They do the guilt. I got that Southern Baptist guilt where it's like, that's the one day you're supposed to drive out here.
Right. Where is out here?
Just like an hour outside of Cincinnati, out in the Nowheresville. But we got her family, and then we've got my mom's family, and then she's got these cousins in Indy that we meet at some cabin in the woods.
You get along with your in-laws?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Me too. Yeah. It's hard to make fun of them because I get along with them too well.
Oh, yeah. They're great. I can't make fun of them. They're fantastic.
Although my mother-in-law, she's like, well, what did you think about Trump? You know that. And I know, I'm like, I know you're setting me up to argue. I'm not going to argue with you. Not going to happen.
I don't mind Trump, but Pence, he's evil.
I'm like, okay. Right, you're not going to get me to fall for this trap. I'm not going to do it. We went out to eat last night, whole like 10 of us. It's my wife's birthday. And I spend, I would say, 80% of the time just on my phone. I just try to avoid all all problems just by texting the whole time I'm there.
Yeah.
Texting's easier.
I got no drama. I'm lucky in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You will. Certainly.
I think part of it comes with being a comedian, that they're all very, all my family, they tiptoe around certain things. They don't want to end up in the act.
Yeah. Do they come see you? Do they like what you do? I always love when parents are like, when comedians are like, I don't know, my father just doesn't understand it. Like, we had Sheamus from the WWE here yesterday, and he was like, in the beginning, my dad had no idea what it was. He would watch it, and he'd go, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, like I said, my parents are strict Southern Baptists, so I kind of knew that just being in the comedy club, no matter what I was saying, was Correct. Not really their scene. So I tried to avoid them having to be there, because if I know what would happen is that my dad wouldn't say anything, and then my mom would just give me guilt trips about, you know,
yeah.
all the stuff she heard other people say. So I put it off, and then finally, they were huge fans of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Right.
And so when I was touring as the opener for those guys, I was doing a show at the big theater in Cincinnati, opening for Larry the Cable Guy. And so they came, all my family came
no
to that show.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was great because they got to see me. They got to assume that was how it was for me.
Right.
Every day of my life, you know, 2,000 people. And that's fine with
that's
me.
That's good.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law loved you last time you were on the show.
Oh, that's
what
sweet.
What was that guy's name? He was very nice.
And yeah, she thought you were, who is that, you?
Yeah, my phone was playing something. So
Jesus Christ.
I kept trying to shut it off. And
It was just to hit the button. They make a convenient button and you shut it off.
It was already shut. The app was already closed and it kept playing video.
First, you insult a homeless guy.
Oh God!
You're aggressive.
Don't tip anybody.
You don't tip anyone.
Well, that is not my.
You offer me to take your girlfriend out for sugar daddy type dates.
I tried to pimp her out. Is actually how she phrased it. You pimped me out for Christmas presents. That's what she said.
That's not what she said to me. She was like, "This is the greatest idea ever." When she texted me.
By the way, Andrew Alderman pointed out, really, the guy that steals the free beers from VIP doesn't tip. Surprising.
Shocking. Yeah. Did you tip any waitresses that night?
There were no waitresses to be tipped.
Oh, boy. Because you were doing the work. You were stealing all the beers instead of ordering them.
I was bringing the beers to myself.
It's a downward spiral, Rob. You were on it fast.
That's fine with me. I'll be living in that van right next to Teddy anytime soon.
Maybe not. I think Teddy rules that area.
With the streets?
Mm-hmm.
I think Teddy kills you next time you're out.
Oh, well, no.
Yeah. With the van.
I won't let it happen.
Thanks. Do a lot of homeless people have cell phones?
Yes.
Right. Is that
surprising?
Weird.
Obama.
I go home over, you know, iPhone any day. I go, hey, let me get an apartment rather than spend $800 on an iPhone.
That'd be messed up. Like, if it gets to that point, you know, where a guy's like, you got any change? And he's like, no. He's like, I do have a Square. Or you can send it to my PayPal.
Oh, yeah. that has totally happened before. People want PayPal. Can you PayPal me money?
Where was it where they were putting in the things where you could tip the homeless with credit cards?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Where was that?
I forget where it was, but it was somewhere where the guy was like, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to have it. You could tip them, and I don't know whether it was like parking meters almost set up around where you gave money.
Detroit. There was a guy that actually got set up, and he was the first person, he says, across the entire country to be able to accept Visa, MasterCard, and American Express.
Genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
Ridiculous.
Oh, that's great.
He was bringing in $20 to $50 a day just from having the swiper. So, and those things are free, too. The Square. Yeah. And then Square gets a portion of the profit, so they're actually getting money off of the homeless.
Bitcoins.
Yeah.
But that's my new thing now, is I watch documentaries, and I just watch one about Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it made me, and halfway through the documentary, I was like, I gotta go get Bitcoin.
I gotta tell you, I read about that years ago and was like, is this even a thing, or is it not really a thing? Because then I read that it was just like, it's all fake cyber money.
Basically, yeah.
But all money is really fake money.
Sure, yeah.
So, and the way they did it, it was very genius. And halfway through it, I was like, I got to invest in Bitcoin. And then they get shut down, and you're like, oh, it's a good thing I didn't. And then it builds up again. You're like, wait a second.
Because Morgan Spurlock did a thing about it where was paying with Bitcoin and didn't know. And then there was people that had no idea what he was talking about, and he was trying to pay with it, and that's all he had to pay with was
that
Bitcoin.
That was an interesting movie. I saw that, a little bit of that. Yeah, that was good.
Is that the one you watched? What's the documentary called?
The documentary I watched is called Bitcoin. So nobody knows where it came from. Nobody knows how it was invented.
Yeah, so it's a dark web or something.
That's what I thought.
No,
it was.
That's different.
No.
Well, so Silk Road and the dark web and all that stuff is different. Bitcoin came up as this as money that could be used that was untraceable, but yet the source code was open, so you could see everything. It was completely transparent. And so you'd buy a Bitcoin, and the Bitcoin was like, say, worth one Bitcoin was worth $135. So you would buy that Bitcoin, and then you would have it, and it'd be like kind of PayPal. So if I wanted to buy something from you, if it was $50, it was deducted from my Bitcoin, you know? And you can send it with no, you could send it from anywhere to anyone. And it was all non-government needed, and it was working very well. And then all the news stations were reporting on it. It was going through the roof. And then the further the investigations go into who created it and all that. And the guy who created it has never come forward. They have no idea who came up with the program or anything.
Wow.
But it crashed really hard. And then they would make these machines that just mined for Bitcoins. They would go out there and look through the internet to get them and gather them. And they can get like four or five a day. And they were building it up. It was just a lot that goes into it.
What was it that made the value change?
There was a certain amount. There was only a certain amount in circulation. And I guess the more people that bought into it would drive the price up, but would make each one worth more. I think $135 for one is what it capped out.
Yeah, my buddy was on a poker website that's how they were getting around the gambling thing, is that you bought
paid in Bitcoin. Yeah,
yeah, you won and lost in Bitcoins.
Which isn't bad. I mean, you can still use them. It still works. Now
I think my t-shirt website accepts it.
Oh, really?
I think so. I don't know if it was my site or another site I was on recently, because I've been in the back end of that thing so much, talking about the website. Not my wife. I shouldn't have said
ever,
that.
Is she ever laying in the back end of her website?
No.
No, yeah.
No. So I'm just, you know, consumer facing. But yeah, it was like Apple Pay had all of them, and then I saw Bitcoin as an option.
You'll take, we'll take any money. You bring some rubles down here, a handful of beans, whatever you got.
Cougarans.
Yeah. Then I watched the Silk Road documentary. Have you seen that?
No,
I have not seen that.
You screwed me up all about the dark web, so I had to go watch it.
Yeah, it's because it's real.
It is real.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Silk Road was like a marketplace for everything.
Like assassins and babies and
stuff.
Well,
that was the thing. Their rules were you couldn't sell anything that was specifically there to hurt people. You couldn't hire or put yourself for hire as an assassin or anything like that. It was strictly for pretty much drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs and porn, but no porn that involved kids or anything like that. So it was a somewhat legit criminal business, and it was run the same way, where it was all open, but it was running out of servers that you didn't know where they were, so they couldn't track it down. And then finally, the FBI got the guy. They got the guy who put it all together, and they arrested him at a library while he was doing work. Young kid.
Yeah. Really?
Young kid that was like a genius. Put him in jail, and then... is that Rob again? I'm going to smash your phone.
I swear to God.
Then hired him?
No.
No.
They put him in jail, and they delayed his court date as much as they could, and they get him. And then there was no real proof that he was the guy, but they had all these witnesses that said that he was, and they threw all that stuff out. Like, they found a reason to make that all inadmissible, so now he's in jail for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's a young kid, and he'll try to appeal it, but he's just stuck there. They get nervous and they just go ahead and start locking everybody up.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy, and it's bad until you figure out your 17-year-old kid. Like, a lot of times, this woman said her kid kept running to the mail all the time, and she's like, he never waited for a package ever. And then when he got a mail, he got a videotape in the mail, and she's like, maybe he's watching pornos. And she went and opened it up, and it was filled with meth. And they were buying it off the Silk Road. So that's the stuff you have to worry about.
I need to watch more documentaries.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you. I download them on iTunes, and then I just watch them in my car.
I just watched one the other day from right here in Pinellas Park. It is called Pervert Park.
Really?
Yeah, it's about that park where all the sexual offenders...
Oh, in the trailer park?
Yeah, yeah. It was...
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
So it's a trailer park where they let all the child predators live, because you have to keep track of them. We sent Love Tiger. Remember that?
Dressed as a cowboy.
Yeah, a little kid cowboy. Yeah. And then go trick or treating.
You guys are genius, evil geniuses.
That was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. And I remember he was like, I'm afraid. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Josh Sneed is here. Josh is going to be at Sidesplitters with us tonight. He is headlining tonight and through the rest of the weekend. Sidesplitterscomedy.com or 960-1197 to get your tickets in advance. You're going to want to do that because it is going to be one of these things tonight. It's going to be really fun. Will you give Rob an honest opinion on his comedy?
Sure.
Will you tell him if he's not funny?
I wouldn't tell him he's not funny.
Why? Like, why? That's a thing. Not that I'm saying he's not funny, but, like, don't you think as a friend you should be like, it's not that funny?
If I'm being serious, I would say I would do this, or I'd say this, or mix this up, or don't open with that. I try to be constructive,
right?
And only because that's one thing that I take kind of somewhat seriously as a comedian.
Yeah,
is that we've all been terrible at some point.
I don't know.
If the wrong person said, maybe you shouldn't try this.
Yeah.
Your constructive criticism is different from the way we do things here. We just beat you down. That's constructive.
Well,
that's
No.
If you're my friend giving it a try, like when I had my podcast, my co-host was a big comedy fan, and then along the way he decided he wanted to try it, and I felt plenty comfortable enough to just dump on everything you did wrong. Yeah. Right. But if it's somebody I don't really know, like, yeah. I don't have it in me to you know.
I think Rob is actually pretty funny. I think he does a good job. And then Cam Bertrand was voted the Creative Loafing's best up and coming comedian. Moonshine Miller has been around for a while. He's a very funny comedian, and he guest hosts for Galvin when he was out this Monday. And then, of course, Josh Sneed, who we first saw opening up for Bill Burr years ago. And thought he was great. So we're looking forward to the comedy show tonight. And then if anybody can't get out there tonight, you can go by and see Josh. He'll be there all weekend. Through, when are you there? Through Sunday?
Through Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. Man. You would not want to see those kids. Josh will be there. Tonight, 8 o'clock. Friday, 8 and 10:15. Saturday, 6, 8 and 10:15. And then Sunday at 7 o'clock. Thank you for getting up early and coming in.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
What's the hot shirt right now?
On our funny t-shirt site, all the kids, everything is savage, right? When you do something to somebody, that's so savage. So we have a picture. We have a picture of Fred Savage as a kid on the Wonder Years giving the thumbs up. And at the bottom it says Savage
that's pretty
AF.
Good. That's pretty good.
So people are losing their minds over that one.
What is the website? I'm going to go look at it right now.
FluffyCrate.com.
FluffyCrate.com, where they accept Bitcoin.
We might.
And you just in time for Christmas. You got your Christmas.
Got the ugly Christmas sweatshirts. Those are big sellers right
Hell
now.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this too loud.
How do you get the Star Wars? Don't let George look at it.
Yeah, I don't want him to know about it.
Okay, got
it. It's not Star Wars. It looks like it's Star Wars.
Oh, you just changed something?
Yeah, we got some Stranger Things-esque stuff on there. We got featured on BuzzFeed for one of those designs. Our coolest new gift this year, this is the one plug I'll make, is we're big Christmas Vacation fans.
Yeah.
So we've created a Jelly of the Month Club gift. And it's like a box with 12 jellies in it. And a T-shirt that says Jelly of the Month Club and a membership card.
Cool.
And if you're a fan of Christmas Vacation, it's like the best gift for
super
someone.
Cool.
I have the Moose Eggnog Cup.
Yeah. We're obsessed with that movie. And last year we did these ugly Christmas sweatshirts where we had the the poopers full. I can say that.
Hey, Clark, poopers full.
He has Harambe loves Christmas, but Harambe was shot in Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati,
right?
Yeah, that's a love. Yeah, so it says Harambe loved Christmas. that's actually probably our biggest seller right this second.
Oh, I'm looking at them right now. There's a lot of Stranger Things.
Barb Lives Matter. That was a big seller.
Great. Yeah.
So that Weast Mode, did you do that for
Squad
Brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, because I heard them talking about that. And
they're like,
funny.
Dude, can you make this shirt for us? And I was like, of course I can.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's fun because that's where it's come to for me is that comedian friends go, I know a t-shirt guy. And go, hey, I want to sell this, but I don't want to make it. So we throw it on our website. They link to it.
You make money off it.
Yeah.
People are sending your Bitcoins.
Gilmore Girls stuff so hot right now.
Is it really? Because it's coming back?
Oh, like crazy. I mean, it's insane. I had no idea. My wife's a fan, but I had no idea that fan base is the equivalent of like a Star Wars fan base.
Is it really?
My brother's a huge fan, which is weird. Let me ask you this, because you're a funny guy. I'm over Bill Murray. He's annoying me now.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
I feel
thank you.
It's almost like
anymore.
He's bought into the legend of himself,
right.
And now he's just trying to add to it.
Hey, Bill, we're trying to have a bachelor party. We don't need an old man. If I want an old man, we'd have brought a father-in-law here. Hit the road.
Like, we're actually trying to win this kickball game. All right? We don't need you to jump in.
Yeah, no, you don't see old men on anybody else's team. Thank you. I love it. You got a thug wife shirt. That's great. All right, FluffyCrate.com. Check it out. Who's phone? Is that Rob's phone?
That was an email.
Mm. Why are you so loud today?
I don't know. My phone's off. I don't know what to tell you. There's literally no sound.
I can fix it. You want me to fix it? Give it to me.
No, you'll break it.
Yes.
But LVC.
Rob, you should quit comedy.
I told a guy that one from stage
one
time. Yeah. A local comedian. I was on stage and I go, you should just quit. It's just not working. It's been too long.
So funny.
And then instead of laughing it off, he goes, why? And the crowd went, oh. And I went, I'm just kidding.
And you should.
And he quit. Right?
He's not doing comedy
anymore.
No. Right?
No.
Artie Fletcher. No, I'm just kidding. Artie Fletcher should also quit.
Do you know a comedian named John Rathbone?
Yes.
I emailed him and told him he should stop.
He's such a nice man.
Well, he can be nice all he wants. He was not funny at all.
Where'd you see him?
At all. At a nightclub where I used to work. And we had comedy nights on Sunday nights. And he was awful.
Galvin also hates Bob Zaney.
Really? Bob Zaney, I don't know if he's an acquired taste or just that sort of like anti-comedy that I enjoy. Todd Glass was another one.
Todd Glass is hilarious.
It was almost more fun if he wasn't doing well. Like for a comedian to watch, try to
dig out
of a hole.
Todd Glass is very funny. Bob Zaney's terrible. What?
He would just, I don't know, I guess I have such a love for him off stage that it
blurs
the lines. Great.
He used to do this thing where he'd go, I'd be talking, he'd go, I'm going to pretend like my phone's ringing so I don't have to hear the rest of the story. And he'd go, hello? And then he'd walk away with his phone up to his and literally not come back.
He should do that on stage.
Galvin loves Kostaki Economopoulos.
He's fantastic.
That's his favorite.
No?
Oh, my God.
No. Not a fan.
That was the guy who called in?
Yeah.
Hey, you hung up midday. I almost said, holy ass right there. I almost said it. He was, it was ridiculous.
Was it like a football thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why.
It's not his act.
No.
But
he was trying to do here what like he probably does for Bob and Tom.
Yeah.
And it didn't work very well.
No wonder they call him the Browns.
Yeah.
Ooh. You really hold on to some of this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm offended.
Yeah.
I really am.
Who is the
a lot
other
of funny
one?
People out there. What?
Who is the guy that you suggested on the show? The only one that's ever been your suggestion that was bad.
Pat Dixon.
Pat
was
Dixon.
Funny. Do you know Pat Dixon?
He was just in town. He was just here.
Pat Dixon is funny, and he came in here, and he bombed. And he did he have a folder full of stuff?
A laptop.
A laptop. And it was like he was doing so poorly. Like, come in and hang out like you do, and we talk and do this, whatever. He's like trying to do jokes like off his screen and read them and stuff. And we're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, relax.
Yeah,
it was bad.
I love the format here. I just want to say that. I love the, like, I hate when I walk in and they're like, what do you want us to ask you?
I'm right.
Like, I don't know, questions about me?
Yeah. I have a genuine interest in people. Like, I want to know. I mean, unfortunately for you, you've been here a bunch of times, so I know a lot of the stuff. No, I'm just saying,
and
like,
I post so much on Facebook and Twitter that people feel like they know you as a person.
Right,
from
right.
That,
but that's right? Good. That leads me to ask you questions about your family and stuff, so I know about right. That. But no, I mean, like, I know a lot about you. Like, when Sheamus was here, yes, I didn't really know how Sheamus got into wrestling, so I could start there and then just naturally have a normal conversation, which always works well. So.
We always get to start talking about wrestling and then never talk about wrestling. When
talk about wrestling.
All right.
Who will the Undertaker face at WrestleMania?
Goldberg?
I don't know, because this whole Lesnar-Goldberg thing is going on right now. How do they not carry that over and milk it for all it's worth?
Yeah, you're right. They probably will.
It'll end this
By
one.
The way, I love how Josh sounded like he was a little kid in school, and you were asking him a real question. Goldberg?
wow, you're putting Rand on the spot.
Lincoln? I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be Goldberg and Lesnar this weekend, which will end in some sort of disqualification so that they have to carry it over, and then finally meet at WrestleMania.
Did you see that after cameras went off on SmackDown that The Undertaker and Kane reunited?
Oh, that
so
could be
the
it.
The Brothers of Destruction are back.
Woo!
And they're both supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
And they're alive. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. The Undertaker's dead. But
you know what would
alive.
Be great? If they got a new Paul Bearer. But you never really see him. You only see him when you hear, and then you see a dark figure with a hat. When Undertaker walks out, you're like, how is that possible?
He's dead. Remember the one time they put him inside of a coffin and then lit the coffin on fire and he disappeared for, I actually thought they killed him. Like, it was like 1994.
You don't think he dropped out of the bottom?
And then he was when they buried him, right?
Yeah.
With the dump truck, the dirt on top, and then the hand comes out. Like, the lightning came down and struck the pile of dirt.
I'm the guy that's always like, how did they do that? It's real to me.
See, I'm not as up on it as I should be, but I have such a love for like that late 90s, early 2000s era, because that's when me and my buddies would go to the events and cheer for all the heels.
Yeah.
And we would make signs that were only meant to piss off whatever city we were in.
Right, right, right. That's the fun way to do it.
Oh, it's the greatest. We were in Detroit for, I think it was Survivor Series, and we had a sign that said, support foreign automakers. Which is maybe my... That one, that was one of my favorites. We actually got escorted out of that for our own safety.
Yeah, yeah.
we were in Louisville and we had a sign that said Easton makes a better bat.
Oh, nice.
Muhammad Ali has the shakes. That was one.
How old is your son?
He's 5.
Okay, so can he go yet?
Oh no.
I started taking my son.
He doesn't even watch it on TV.
Oh, I started taking my son early. He had to go, he had to know about it. And we go now, and now he's 10, so he can get embarrassed. So now they all cheer for the good guy, and I cheer for the bad guy. They're yes. like, oh, what are you crazy? And the wrestlers who recognize me from the show will sometimes have communication from the ring. Like Kofi Kingston yelled at my son. He looked at me and he goes, is that your boy? I go, yeah. He goes, I'm going to come down and smack your face, boy. And my son was like, oh, God. That's what I love. So I told Sheamus yesterday, I said, I'll say it right now. I'm giving you an audio contract. I'll sign papers or whatever. Sometimes your fights carry out into the ring. And if I'm sitting in the front row with my kid and you come over and you get up and you turn around and see me, you turn around and you punch me in the face, I'll sell it. I'll go down. No suing involved or anything. How great would that be?
It'd be the best.
Never tell your kid he's going to grow up. And then one time Sheamus punched my dad in the face. Or if it was somebody smaller that I thought I could beat up when he hits me, I'd actually hit him back. And I'd go, oh, you weren't. That's part of the contract. Yeah, it'll be good.
That's one time we went to ECW and we got a dry erase board in there. So we were making up signs as the night went along. That was a lot of fun. I almost lost a finger that night when New Jack threw his chain out into the crowd and I caught it and the guy behind me caught the other end of it and one of my fingers was through the links.
Oh.
And he's just yanking it and he's like bending my... I was like, dude, you can have this
just give
chain.
Me my finger back. Yeah.
You can go to Lowe's and get another one.
We used to go to the wrestling events and they would go in, they would tunnel them in underneath and we would be like 30 to 40 feet up on railings and we would tie notebooks down. It's so dumb. And we would lower it down with a pen.
So they'd sign it?
So they'd sign it. I go, I am going to be a millionaire. I have Xbox autograph on its way to the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, notebook useless.
Pretty good though, gimmick to lower it down on a string.
We actually stole it. We saw other kids do it. We go, next time we come, we gotta do this. And so we did, and it worked. They would stop and actually sign it, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty. You walk out and you see something hanging down. That's pretty cool.
My biggest one at the time, Gangrel. Do you remember Gangrel? He was part of the Blood.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, he's a vampire.
He lives here.
He's a vampire.
No. He lives in Hutton. Him and Luna live there, and then Luna died.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart lives here. Everybody lives. This is the best spot in the world, guys.
Oh, if you're a wrestling fan, I'm telling you, when I lived in Tampa, I used to go to Publix. It was like a Raw. I'd go to Christian, be on one aisle, Lita be on the other. I swear to God, we'd go up to the... I can't tell you how many times I went to check out, and Christian and his wife would be over there. I was like, oh, my God. That's Christian. And that's why I stopped going to the gym, because I'd go to the gym, and they would all be in there working out. Yeah, yeah. What's my motivation? Those guys, they're over there bench pressing 300 pounds, and I'm like, I don't belong here.
Right. Oh, God, those are such great memories. We used to have pay-per-view parties at our apartment, and we would we'd have like 30 people over, everybody chip in, and then we would bring out my roommate's box spring and mattress, and then have matches. and that's like one of my favorite memories is going to like Meijer, like or Walmart or whatever, late at night one night, testing out cookie sheets to see which one had the best tone.
Now this was you were what 12?
21.
Oh, okay. Right. Just checking.
Yeah.
Isn't that great when you're a kid and it's just like the most pure thing you love and you grow up and then one day Hulk Hogan sees you. It's amazing. All right, we got to take a break. See Josh Need tonight. He will be with us for Celtic Comedy Night at Sidesplitters, and then they're all weekend long. Sidesplitterscomedy.com or 960-1197. Good to see you, dude. We'll see you tonight.
All right, boys. Thanks.
We'll take a break. It's a Mike Calder show.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.